Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, thank you, worship team. That was awesome. I'm just going to share real brief before Bob comes and gives a message today. And when we moved the house of prayer into our current location, which is just down the hallways of the mall here, I had the privilege of driving the car for the live worship portion. That's Bob on drums and Dave Carey on guitar. And, you know, once we pulled up, and we got them in, and we took off on their way. I was just overcome by the presence of God all the way there. And I heard the Lord say something. He said, this is a season right now where the nations are going to begin to rage. Out of Psalm chapter 2, I heard Psalm chapter 2, and it says, this is an end-time prophetic passage. It says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves up, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. And then it says, this is the Father in heaven. He who sits in heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress and in his deep displeasure. And he says, yet I have set my king on my holy hill in Zion. That's Jesus. There's coming a time, and I felt like the Lord say we're just entering into that time now. I mean, the nations are already raging, and there's deep displeasure against the body of Christ worldwide. And but I felt like the Lord said this is going to increase in this season, and he said, I want you to find yourself in my presence and pursuing me at a heart level. And I was just overcome with that, those words and that reality all the way over to our new location. And I've been pondering them ever since. And I asked the Lord, what do you want to say here? Like, I just have this little blurb here. And he gave me Corey Stark's prophetic word, which is a very key word for Voice, way back on September of 2002. And it's the rain, wind, and fire vision. And I'd like to eventually get a copy of it in your hands. If you want to read it later on, it's on our website under resources. Just click resources, and it's there. And and I felt like the Lord said, this is just as valid then as it is now. I don't change my mind. And the Lord's been saying to me, I don't see transition. You see transition. But from my perspective, what I've called this ministry to, there is no transition. This ministry is supposed to be about developing Jesus Christ in the hearts of people, not just being saved and born again, but actually taking his very nature in us. And we're going to stay focused on that mandate until Jesus comes. And so, if you know, for most of you, that's why you're involved in this type of ministry. And so I just really feel the Lord saying that going forward. But let me just breeze through the first part of this. And then I'm going to turn it over to Bob. And so this is the prophetic, the vision that Corey got. He said, I was suddenly awakened suddenly on Tuesday, September 24th, 2002 at 3:26 a.m. Seconds afterward, I was acutely aware of the sweeping downpour of rain that ended abruptly as it began, leaving behind only echoes of its awesome display. Then the word of the Lord came saying, I am now sweeping the landscape of the earth with my cleansing rain to prepare my people for what is coming. My rain will come as a forceful downpour upon those who need my correction. It will also come as a gentle rain to strengthen and refresh the weak and weary soul. My rain is sweet and will create in and of itself a hunger throughout the earth for more. However, what lies beyond my rain is my wind, and it shall break every high and lofty thing. The rain is just a preparation for what comes next. It is during this season of rain that you'll receive your preparation and positioning for my wind. The rain shall prepare, but my wind shall change. Even the things you see upon the landscape shall be changed when my wind comes. So prepare your hearts and minds now. For my rain shall fall upon all who come, even those with wrong motives and selfish agendas. This rain shall be a measure of my anointing, my blessing upon my people. It shall refresh and renew and shall stir a hunger for more. It'll wash and cleanse and it'll expose the hidden motives of the heart, opening afresh doors of repentance that were previously shut up for those willing to walk through them. It will also stir a hunger for more of what is in my people's hearts and will prepare my remnant to stand out amongst the mixed multitude. For I will shortly send my wind. It'll blow through the land and dry up every bit of rain that remained upon the surface of the earth. It'll remove that which is dead, lifeless, and temporal, and will expose in truth that life which is issued forth from the Father and is eternal. And then Corey quickly saw a vision, and I'm going to just summarize it. But he saw trees in a vision and a multitude of trees. Some of the trees were weak and completely bowed to the ground, while others seemed to be strong and standing quite tall. Nevertheless, they all had one thing in common. They were covered with dirty leaves, and not one was clean. Then I watched in this cleansing rain, they begin to be clean. And simultaneously, as they're being washed, the weak ones that were bent over begin to be revived and started to stand up. The other trees that were standing tall at first were impacted with such a scoring downpour that began to bow over. The next thing I noticed was that the rain began to pull around the base of the tree as it ran off of them. Suddenly, some of the tree roots burst forth from the ground beneath them and raced towards a pool to consume the water. I questioned in my heart what this meant. The Lord said, "These pools of water represent my anointing." At first, I thought to myself that this was good, that they were just chasing the Lord. But immediately, I sensed in my spirit that these trees representing believers were doing wasn't good and wasn't pleasing to God, and so I was confused. The Lord then showed me what these roots represented. I saw the names written upon three of them. The first said selfish ambition, the second said control, and the third said pride. These roots represented the secret motives of their heart, and with these, they chased not after God himself, but after his anointing to covet it for themselves. Then the Lord showed me that their lack of healing and unrenewed areas of their mind, they could not help doing what they were doing. For example, the root of selfish ambition sprang out of an area labeled rejection. And then another one of control sprang out of abuse. And the root of pride came forth from a place of lack of positive affirmation. And so now I'm skipping a little bit. And he says, immediately following this, I turned to see the remaining trees were far less in number, but their roots did not appear above the ground. And what happened is these roots of these trees, which is out of Psalm chapter 1, those that dwell in the Word of God, their roots of these trees that are planted like by streams of water, Psalm chapter 1 says, they roots go down really deep into the soil. And that's what I feel like the Lord wanted us to know today. Eventually, these roots in this vision, Corey saw them, they went down into the dirt, and the roots represented faith, hope, and love. And they begin to go deeper and deeper, which represented humility. And they ended up finding, they were going for the water table underneath the earth to be fully established. And in the water table was a golden oil of anointing that began to spring up from that place. And so I summarized it real quick because I want to give Bob lots of time. But the point of this vision is I felt like the Lord was saying for our ministry is to keep focusing on going deeper in his word, cultivating a lifestyle of humility before him. And these roots, trees that don't have long, deep roots will never become strong oaks of righteousness. It never will happen that way because their roots aren't deep. And I felt like the Lord say, I'm positioning this ministry to go deep in my word, deep in prayer and worship, through the house of prayer, and deep in a lot of different mandates of God, but he has a divine purpose for this. And so right now, God doesn't see transition. This is just another step of finding him in this deep place. Bob, why don't you come on up? I just encourage you to read that vision for yourself, or maybe we'll have a handout next week. And that's a key vision from 2002 that's the same to the Lord that it's ever been. We're in that season deep. And so, okay. Father, we just come before you today, and we just ask for your grace and your peace. Lord, would you just flow through Bob right now as he speaks? Lord, to open our ears to hear what he is, what God is saying through Bob to us. And just bless us and anoint us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thank all of you for being patient. You know, we're going to work out a lot of different things here. So just hang with us and pray for us and share with others that we're here. And, you know, I don't have a whole lot of time, but I do want to do one thing. I need you guys to stand up and greet somebody because I felt like here we are in a new place. And you're like, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? So find somebody and introduce yourself to them and welcome them to Voice Fellowship. And so I want you to be able to see how the Holy Spirit is putting things together for us. And this message today, remember what he spoke about the presence, establishing his presence through prayer. That's the message. We get a prophetic word. This guy has no clue, Dallas doesn't, of what I'm going to share this morning. And it validates the prophetic and how God wants to get your attention. God wants to get your attention so that no matter what type of winds do blow, that you'll be able to stand firm because of how deeply rooted you are in the Lord and in his presence. And, you know, we did a lot of ministry the last 5 years over at the Grand Horizon, and we lacked a lot of community. The Lord wants us to have community with him and with each other. And I kind of like seeing you all jammed together. I can see everybody. People tell me that they're there, and I'd be, you weren't there. Yes, I was. I was back on the left, and I was like, you're kidding me. So I'm so glad that we're together. And I pray that we're going to start a women's group at the end of July. A lot of other things. We're praying right now for the youth ministry. We're praying for the men's group and gathering everybody together to help us and help equip for families. That's our heart. But let me tell you what, you can have all those things. And if you don't have an intimate relationship on a daily basis with Jesus and you and him hang out together, all those things really don't matter. Those things help, and those things will keep us and probably stir us and we'll speak to each other, but what we really need more than anything is him, and we need his presence more than anything in our lives. And so this morning, I'm going to run through this. I'm going to try to dismiss this about 5 minutes before the mall wakes up. But I want you to hear this, and I want you to take this home with you. I want you to pray about it, because we need to respond from a place of being with him. The scripture here that we have is Luke 18, 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, Romans 12, 12. They all speak about prayer. Luke 18, 1 says, men and women ought to always, they're always to pray and not give up. 5, 18, 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Have a life of prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Romans 12, 12 says about being devoted to prayer. And so why is God leading his people to a place of prayer? Because he knows that that is where they're going to be empowered. That is where they're going to walk in peace. That is where they're going to have his love overwhelm them. And we're so quick in our prayers. Especially, I'll get ahead of myself here, especially like if something happens, we panic and everybody's praying for something. God wants us to live a lifestyle of prayer so that everything that we encounter through our lives is submitted from a place of being with him and being in his presence. And that's what God desires. He's leading us to be a people of prayer. It's always been in the Word. It's always been in the Word. It's our color. Okay. So number one, introduction. As I contemplated this message for our first Sunday in this new season and a new location, I couldn't get away from the topic of prayer. Prayer releases the power of intimacy in everyday life. Prayer releases the power of intimacy with God in everyday life. It has to happen. Prayer leads us into his presence. That's what we were speaking about. It leads us into his presence, which gives us peace and the power to go forth fulfilling our destiny and our calling and what God has. By prayer, we become like him, the beholding and becoming principle that's found in the Word. By prayer, we become presence carriers, that we carry his presence with us everywhere we go. We just don't get in somebody's face and preach at them. We carry his presence. And so they even know that there's something about us because God is with us and we've been with God. Look at Philippians 4, 5 through 7. It says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by intimate prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart. Now, your heart is your spirit man, your spirit woman, your heart. It guards your heart when you're with him and you're in the place of prayer. It's the essence of who you are. So it's so necessary. And your minds in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4. Number 3, the wisdom of oil. I had no idea he was going to hit that about oil today. So God is saying to you guys through the Holy Spirit, through vessels, probably most of you were spoken to about this maybe through the last few weeks. He's trying to tell you, buy oil. This is the day to buy oil. The wisdom of oil. Matthew 25, 1 through 13 speaks about that. But Matthew 25 has 3 parables in it. It talks about the 10 virgins, but it also talks about the parable of the talents that have been given to each and every one of you. And it talks about the sheep and the goats. That's Matthew 25. And that Matthew 25 happens right after Matthew 24, when all types of things are happening in the earth and when there's a preparation for Jesus to return. So the wisdom of oil, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. You probably know this. You've read it before. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, Jesus. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they slumbered and they slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, in Matthew 24, with what I just said in A there, it talks about the turmoil of the age, which I believe we're living in right now. We're living in a really rough time in society, and things are changing all the time. And then Matthew 24 is the chapter for living our lives out in that age. That's what I believe. I believe that 24 is the age in which we're living, chapter 24. 25 is how do you live this out? You live this out by buying oil and making sure that you're ready. Jesus said, look at this. Jesus defined intimacy as oil, as the dividing line. Listen. As the dividing line between foolishness and wisdom. The dividing line, Jesus said, was the oil of intimacy. He said it is foolish to carry around lamps, outward, basically have an outward ministry without any flame. Love of Jesus fueled by the oil of intimacy. Did you get it? Okay. That the Lord is like saying, get ready. This is what's necessary. Make sure this is happening in your life. Go to B. One of the greatest deceptions in the church today is the idea that we can actually accomplish something eternal, that we can do his work, build the kingdom without seeking first the king of the kingdom. We've got to seek him first in everything that we do. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And that's why it's so important, number 4, to have a lifestyle of prayer. And I got to encourage you. If you don't plan to pray, you probably won't pray. You've got to have a plan to pray. Look at Daniel in Daniel 6. He planned to pray. I'm not saying that you won't break out in prayer throughout the day, because you probably will. But when you plan to pray, listen, You settle yourself down to that place where now you can be still and begin to listen and begin to encounter God and encounter His presence. All the noise in your head, you begin to get rid of it. When was the last time you dialed down all the noise and got real quiet and got real still before the Lord and begin to hear Him? It might have been just today. But you need to ask yourself that question. Am I cultivating a life of intimacy with God? Am I having this knowledge of who He is deepen in my life and in my heart because I've been with Him? And so as we are here today, the Lord is saying, listen, as that was spoken, I'm with you guys, but you got to know this. You won't be able to deal with the wind of adversity that's coming if you don't have a deep root system in a place of intimacy with me. It just won't happen. You won't be ready for the day. And so the Lord says, be ready for that day. And that's what He's trying to get to me. He's trying to get it to you. One of the greatest deceptions is that people just think they can do whatever they want to do and then just negate being with Jesus. Many people that are gifted in certain areas, they use their gift to open up doors for them. And then they live in that gift and all of a sudden they just become almost like they dry up. And God is saying, every one of you in this room, He wants to know you. And there could be no better message, there could be no greater message than to be a message of prayer and getting before the Lord and being close to Him. A lifestyle of prayer. Many times we are moved to prayer by bad things that happen in our lives. I got to say that I've done that many times. We pray out of shock, like something shocks us because we see it on the news or something and all of a sudden everybody's praying. Or worry or anxiety. We get filled with anxiety. The Lord does say to cast all your cares upon Him, that He cares for you. And that's absolutely true, found in the Sermon on the Mount. But sometimes we pray to escape trouble and never become still long enough before the Lord to hear the answer. Now, you're going to miss that. Sometimes we pray out of what happens, but we don't remain still long enough to begin to hear the Lord speak. Don't we do a lot of talking and little listening? Does God do a lot of listening and little talking? We need to be like Him. We need to get it. Sometimes we just need to be there and listen. We bring our requests before Him, but we listen. And He wants to speak to you and empower you. And that's what this is, to equip and prepare a people for the Lord, because He's coming. But also for all these people in this mall, to prepare us and equip us to share and be a fragrance of who He is. They don't need religion, guys. They need Jesus. And they need to be able to smell Jesus on you and see it in you and see this goodness and this willingness. You know, we're so busy that we can't drop what we're doing to help somebody. And God's saying, I need you to drop what you're doing and help somebody. I need you to love on folks. We have a whole evangelistic field out here. Like I said earlier, we got where you want to go? Where you guys want? You going to go Carson Peary Scott's afterwards? Where are we going to evangelize today? They're all out there. They've come to us. We've come to them. It's awesome. I mean, come on, amen, man. You got to get out there. These fields are ripe for harvest. These people need Jesus just like we do. And what greater thing to lead somebody to Jesus and not just leave them on the surface, but have avenues for them to go deep so that they can fulfill who they are. They don't get caught up in the system. They get caught up in Him. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. I like that because so you have to be uncomfortable to be comforted, right? When we're uncomfortable, we need to get into His presence and just watch what God can do and begin to comfort us. The Lord is never uncomfortable when we are, and that's why it's important to live in His presence. Remember that He always sees the end result in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Prayer should be our first choice. Now, I'm not saying your first choice that you pray that if you got to, you know, give the dog a bath. I got to pray. No, you don't have to pray about that. Just give the dog a bath. He stinks, okay? You can do that. You need to just make sure, though, if there's anything in your life that is going to affect other people and affect you, maybe the dog would, I don't know. You need to pray about it, and you need to submit it to the Lord. Just don't be shut out and just do whatever you want to. Ask God to lead you and to guide you. Pray about everything, every situation, by knowing him. And then he becomes our joy, our source of strength. Now, if we're filled with his presence, we will behave in ways unlike the world around us. Giving thanks, big thing. Giving thanks, being thankful that he will never leave us or forsake us, always. Now, I know our heart can be spread out in many different places when we bring it to the Lord. This is very important. But there is a place of truth that we can enter in with him in prayer. You may come to the Lord and your heart is just broken and laid out all over. You got all kinds of things to bring to him. But if you can enter into that place of his presence, that you enter into that place of truth and you begin to hear him, you begin to get still and you begin to experience his goodness, and you remember 8:28, no matter what the situation, and we know that all things work to the good, all things, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. B, being still before the Lord. Being still before the Lord opens a channel of communication between us and heaven. If we rush into prayer and haven't gotten still before the Lord, we can begin to pray in our own strength. I've done that plenty of times, praying in my own strength. And we come to God out of the weight and the panic of the circumstances that I'm facing. So I haven't even gotten still. I just come and start just shooting everything up at him. And this is, I need you, God, da, da, da. Things need to change. And I'm praying out of my own strength. But being still in the Lord, it's a spiritual discipline, drawing us into continual experience of his presence. What the prophecy said at the beginning, his presence is available. It is with us. That presence, that changes everything, because then we're in a place of rest. We're in a place of intimacy and communion. And now it promotes continual prayer, praying unceasingly. And we learn to live in his presence. And I said that earlier, we speak often and rarely are still, which is the opposite of God. In Psalm 46:10, God told David to be still and know that I am God. So when things are in your life are rapidly changing and shifting, like even this meeting today, this is a change for all of us. It's different. Be still and know that he's God in the midst of all change. I remember I was going through a real rough time. I was in my 20s, and the pastor, Pastor Price, he was a prayer partner of mine, and man, I was messed up, and I was anxiety-ridden, and I was just like, you know, God's got to come through. I was crying, you know. And he said, I'll meet with you, Bob, this week. And I thought, all right, I'm going to counsel with the pastor, you know. I'm going to get the goods. And I was so excited, and I went into Pastor Price's office, and he said, you know, Bob, I've been really praying about this meeting. And he said, this is what I got for you. Be still and know that I'm God. Oh, that's it. I said, what? He said, be still and know that I am God. That's what I feel the Lord's telling you. And I just went, okay. And I walked out of there and I was mad. I was like, boy, what kind of counseling is that? You know what I mean? No wonder I'm in the mess I am. You're up there preaching that way and, you know, all that stuff, you know. Nobody else has done that. Point the finger of blame. And so, be still and know that I'm God. And he was exactly right. I was so messed up. I was trying to make decisions, trying to make choices. I felt like I'd blown it, da, da, da. And he's saying, man, you have got to get before the Lord, and you've got to hear the Lord, and you've got to experience his presence, which you always talk about that you did in the beginning to get you where you are today. And so how can we, as men and women, as leaders, because we all lead, somewhere we're leading, be men and women of God leading in his anointing if we're not being in his presence? If you've learned how to function in the church and you've learned how to get, you know, from point A to point B, and you kind of push your way around a little bit, God's not going to let you do that too much longer, no matter where you are. He wants to break you down. He wants you to just be with him. And then he'll move every mountain, every resistance that's in your way. He'll deal with it. But and then you have confidence and you have joy because you know, I'm moving because I've been with God. I'm not moving because I think this is the best thing God would want me to do. There is a difference. There is a difference. And when you know it, you'll just do whatever it takes to walk it out, right?